The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
All right, I'm sorry, but for the first segment here, this is going to be the pre-Glenn Beck program. I'm sorry I have to do this to you. I'm sorry I have to start this way, but there's some bad news out there. We got to spend a minute talking about it.
I don't like. Can I tune you out for a little bit then?
I don't think you can on this one. This is really... Did you catch Think Tank yesterday?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Did you... And I think Glenn may have touched on this yesterday on his radio program a little bit, but there's even more coming about Illinois and the financial disaster that is Illinois. Wow, this is bad. This is horrible. Because there's little elements of this that we didn't even get a chance to discuss fully yesterday on Think Tank or on Glenn's radio program. And... We are days away from what could be disaster. Now, I don't think it's going to roll out in as obvious a way as you may be thinking. So let me set the table here and explain what's going on in Illinois. Illinois don't be having no money. They don't be having no money, and they be having lots of bills coming in.
I thought they were doing like a privilege tax.
Well, we talked about that like a couple weeks ago, right?
Back to one of the
right. That's just one of the options. One of the reasons they floated this privilege tax is because of the dire straits they are in. It's not just they don't have any money; they really don't have any money, and they really have some big bills, and they haven't been paying their bills. This is a disaster. Decades in the making. What's going on in Illinois right now? The financial disaster that is looming has been building probably for 50 years.
Wow.
Because it has to do with unions, and it has to do with pensions, and it has to do with government workers. And Chicago, Rust Belt, Great Lakes region, with manufacturing and big government and government corruption, touches all of those things. The way we have dealt with unions and pensions, government workers and spending, really was established during the Industrial Revolution and post-Industrial Revolution, all the way up through the heydays of the 50s and so on and so forth with manufacturing in America. So this goes all the way back. But the real problems started in the past couple of decades. Right now, Illinois has $15 billion in overdue bills.
Billion?
$15 billion. This is not a budget shortfall. You know, something like, well, the state of whatever or whatever is in debt or has a budget shortfall of so many millions of dollars or $1 billion. They have bills due totaling $15 billion. Plus, late payments because of those bills, the penalties you get, because they're post 60 whatever days, of almost $1 billion, $800 million. They're not paying them still, which means they're racking up debt. You hear that? They just added tens of thousands more. Okay, they just added thousands more. Because it's 50... They just added more. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Now, if you're like, wow, Doc, that sucks, but I'm in Montana.
It doesn't matter.
No, this is on you, too. It's the only way out. You're going to pay for this.
Me?
You're going to pay for it. Because if Illinois goes down, all of us are going down. It's dominoes. And that is how they will spin it as well. Any path out requires me and you, regardless of where you are in America today, being on hook for some of this stuff. Let me explain. They're $15 billion overdue right now. They're automatically spending billions more each year than they're taking in. So on top of this and on top of the penalties, they're spending billions more each year than they're taking in. Their controller, Susan Menendez, who is she's a Democrat. She said Illinois is in massive crisis mode, and that is not a false alarm. She wrote an open letter and sent it. She said it's in massive crisis mode, and that's not a false alarm. She said the state is hemorrhaging money, spending roughly $600 million more every month than they're taking in. Wow. And there's no way out in sight. They haven't had a budget in 2 years. Now, part of the problem right now is that you have a Republican governor and a Democrat Congress or the state house. The state legislature is Democrat, and they are battling back and forth. And the governor has some right ideas, but they're at a stalemate. They're not passing a budget. Shockingly, this comptroller, who is a Democrat, has actually called for some budget cuts, too. That's not usually what they do, right? But they're at odds, and they're not coming up with anything immediate. They have already been downgraded. Their credit rating, first of all, it was already the worst of any state in America. And then it got downgraded. And if they don't come up with a budget by July 1st, just a week away, if they don't come up with and pass a budget that deals with this stuff, they are going to be downgraded even more. The ratings agencies warned that they are going to downgrade them to junk.
Is that a rating now?
Yeah, junk is all the junk bonds, right. If there is no budget before the next fiscal year begins, which is July 1st, it's going to be downgraded even more. What are the odds they're going to get it done? And a budget that actually deals with this stuff. Because it's not just, hey, we have to pass a budget. It's a budget that deals with the $15 billion. It's not like, all right, we'll come to terms with, current spending. You have to have something in there that deals with these billions because the credit agencies know that. So what is at the heart of the overspending? What is at the heart of the overspending is the past sins. Not just the overspending, hey, we spent Tuesday, we didn't pay for it on roads or whatever. The past sins of compensation for government workers primarily. Over the years, politicians have said, we got a real problem here. The people who work for the state want more money. Or local governments have said it. Hey, the cops, the firefighters, the teachers, they want more money. The unions are clamoring. We got to come to a contract with them, Otherwise, they're going to strike. Blue flu. We got to have cops on the street. We can't have teachers out. Kids got to learn. The teachers and the firefighters and the police officers, sure, they want compensated. They should be compensated. But it's an easy spin for them to go to the media and say, do you want your kids not in school? Do you want unsafe streets, whatever? Don't you want your home protected? So the politicians have a real problem. In order to pay those people more, they need more money coming in. So they either have to take from something else, which they can't do because it's all budgeted. They have to cut.
Good luck with that.
That's not going to happen. Or they have to raise taxes. No politician wants to go in and say, raise taxes. Even the Democrats won't do it. They say, raise taxes on the rich people. So what they do is they go to the unions, they go to the government workers, and they say, here's what we're going to do. We can't pay a lot right now because we don't have it. But what we'll do is we'll give you golden benefits. We'll give you huge pensions. We'll give you additional time off. All of these other things that add to your compensation. Sometimes they'll tell you, you can do all the overtime you want. That's on a different budget, right? Mm. And they rack up the overtime. And the way your retirement usually works when you work for the government, local or state, it's based, they base a percentage on your highest three paying years. 75%, 80%, whatever it is. Well, then like the local cops or firefighters, it's the system they're working within, so I don't criticize them for it. They spend 3 years working every hour of overtime they can. Because it's not your highest base pay salary or base pay. It's total compensation. So you work all the overtime, you triple your salary. Those are your three highest paid years. It's all part of this. But this is where they're screwed. It's the pensions that are killing them. Do you remember in 2008 when Obama came in, on the heels of that financial market meltdown or potential meltdown? And that had to do with a lot of those toxic assets about the really bad mortgages and the worst mortgage, and they're bundling them together and all that stuff. Well, one of the other problems were pensions. Detroit had a problem with it. All kinds of cities and states were dealing with these pensions that were coming due, and they didn't have the money to take care of them. Why didn't Chicago or Illinois in general, why didn't they deal with this back then? They knew this was coming. Why didn't they deal with it last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago? I'll leave it for the next guy.
Kicking the can.
Kicking the can down the road. It's just easier. So now it's come to fruition. Here it is. We're here. You're $15 billion. What are you going to do? Now, you may be saying, you know, Doc, I'm in Florida. Let them tank. The dominoes will start falling in so many different ways. You'll have people fleeing Illinois. What happens to the people that are left there? Property values go down. All of the people that are there then need more greater government assistance. And are we going to say, oh, we can't do that? And what if Illinois is a state default? What's going to happen there? We don't even know what to do with Puerto Rico, and they're going through this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just starts a domino effect that we all will suffer in so many different ways. So we will not let them fail completely. We, on some level, will bail them out, whatever that means. It's gotten so bad that the lottery, the Illinois lottery that has Powerball and Mega Millions, say those two are ready to drop the games. They're bailing. They can't trust them. The governor said he wants Democrats to approve a couple of things before he agrees to a tax increase. Okay, and a tax increase may be the only, not the only way, but one of the things necessary. You can't cut your way out of this, Illinois. Not with $15 billion. Sorry. You can't cut enough because you have other things you have to take care of. So you likely will need some sort of extra money coming in, whatever that is. But he says in order to get the tax increase, he wants a 4-year property tax freeze. Okay. New workers' compensation laws that would reduce costs for employers, including the state. Okay, that makes sense. And term limits for lawmakers in the state, which is hilarious. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It'll be interesting to see that this crisis might
bring something good.
Exactly.
Right. So we may end up being on the hook for this one way or another. And by the way, it's not like other states are doing great. There's other states that have, or cities that have these. Detroit just went through this, right? They're still dealing with some of the fallout from this. If the dominoes start falling on top of all of the other financial things that are real sensitive right now, I mean, the stock market is really high. That's not going to sustain.
No.
It's not going to do that for the next 500 years. It's going to dip, maybe only a little bit. Maybe a lot, maybe collapse. And it's not going to be 10 years from now. It's going to be within the next year. So it's just what happens. It's ups and downs with it. Remember, they're that much in debt in spite of the fact that some of these pensions and stuff are tied to the stock market, and the stock market is record hot. So one of the things they proposed, which we discussed last week or a couple weeks ago, was a privilege tax. 20% privilege tax on financial transactions that have to do, now it could be all financial transactions, but it'll probably be tied to the wealthy. Chicago has a trading floor that trades in commodities, which is one of the centers of American finance and our economy. What happens to that trading floor then when those people go, wait a minute, what? 20% privilege tax on transactions?
They're out.
Why don't we just sell our commodities? Why don't we just trade them in Gary, Indiana, right next door? Why don't we just go to New York? You know, let's start a whole new place. Let's go to Miami. Why don't they all just say we'll do commodities somewhere else? And then what happens to the state?
It falls faster than
right.
Before.
It gets worse and worse and worse. So this is looming out there. Now, one of the ways forward, if you want some of the solutions, we can discuss those. I'll take some of yours on Twitter as well. It's at Doc Thompson Show if you want to comment on it. We can also get some calls, 888-900-3393. There are some solutions that are better than others that could set up some good, as Chris said. And we'll discuss those coming up next on The Morning Blaze.
You're waking up to The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-8192. That's 800-600-8192. 800-600-8192.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
All right, get the tweets in with the hashtag what I learned today. Hashtag what I learned today. It's at Doc Thompson Show.
Wait. Why am I being blamed?
Blamed for what?
For this. You opened a show against my suggestion. For example, you got Quacking Covfefe going, damn it, Chris. Weren't you supposed to feed Doc Thompson some cookies?
The Sugar Mickey?
Yeah.
You're supposed to slip me the Sugar Mickey? You're supposed to Glenn Beck me?
Yeah, watching my colleague saying, I agree, Chris Cruz, fail. Your part, no sugar, we get Doomsday Doc / Glenn.
Okay, it's not Doomsday because there's some good news in this stuff or potential good news.
And then TMB listener,
pretty bad.
10-10-10, Chris Cruz will have to slip Doc another pack of Oreo cookies this morning.
Okay,
not another one. I didn't bring any.
We're going to have to deal. See, I'm okay when I'm eating healthy.
Okay,
because I set it in my mind right, and I feel better, you know, and I know I'm doing the right thing or whatever. I'm fine there. Or I'm fine when I got the sugar fix. But it's the in-between where I'm trying to get out of the sugar fix into the back into the eating healthy. It's like the detox. I'm having the DTs.
The
withdrawals, right. That's what it is. That's where I'm at right now. So you can give me the sugar, but then that's just prolonging the inevitable, and then I'm Fat Doc, which also adds its own problems too. Cause then I feel bad and I'm sore and I'm cranky in other ways. So we're just trying to deal with the problem right now. We gotta go through the DTs here.
The DTs?
The detox, the withdrawals.
Okay.
Like the DTs.
Okay.
So I'm on the DT train right now. I had a pizza last night. Now I'm out.
Oh, wait a minute. You had a pizza last night?
I had a pizza last night. You want to know how bad it was? This is... damn it. How'd you get me on this?
I didn't get you on this.
So I go and order a pizza last night, right?
From where?
Paleo's.
Oh, they're right around the corner.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's close. So I had to run out to get some other things. And I'm like, I'm going to get pizza. I'll start tomorrow.
Okay.
Right?
But you told me yesterday you're going to start right after you ate the Oreo cookies.
The Oreo cookies, but I start today. Look at this. I'm good to go. So I order a pizza, and I'm like, and I should get a salad, too. Because then it's eating healthy, you know. So I got a Caesar salad, which is the worst damn thing for it.
That's the healthiest salad out there.
No, I know. So I get the Caesar salad, and the guy goes, here's the Caesar salad.
And then a pizzeria Caesar salad.
Right, and I set it down on the counter, because I already paid and everything, but everyone's going to need some napkins and whatever. And I just put my wallet away. So I set that down, and he goes, here's the pizza. And I go, okay, great. Thank you. And I set the pizza on the counter, but I wasn't careful with it. And it went, oh, on the floor.
Oh, no.
And it felt like right on the edge up against the counter. Okay? So, and I'm in a big hurry, too. So I flip it up, and it's all down to one end, right? And the guy goes, oh, man. He goes, you know, let me make you another one. And I go, how long is that? And he goes, 7 minutes. And I went, nah, I'll just eat it.
Are you serious?
So I ate a pizza blob. And I justified it in my mind by going, it's like a calzone.
Oh, my God.
So this was the colliding of Doc's impatience and him wanting pizza. So this is what happens to me when I fall off the wagon, Chris. when I'm on the junk again. This is what happened.
You eat pizza calzone?
I did just, it was all just a pizza blob. It was Pizza the Hut. Blah. It was all thrown in there. So I'm like kind of stretching the pieces back out. And the guy's like, oh man, seriously, I'll make you another one. And I go, it's like 7 minutes, man. He goes, is that for like the fam? And I go, oh, this is just me. Oh, he goes, the large is just for you. And I was like, and then I saw the judgment in his eyes. I was just like, I'm going to stink out of here.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Doc Thompson.
All right, get the tweets in with the hashtag What I Learned Today. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at Real Chris Cruz, and at The Blaze Brad for Brad Staggs. We'll be in with your headlines about a half hour from right now.
You got FCC observer number one, What I Learned Today. Yesterday, Doc Thompson teased major changes to the show, and Kyle 79 is still MIA. Hashtag Skip Steiner.
All right, I guess we should talk about it. I didn't want to bring it up
yet. Are we allowed to talk about it?
I figured I'd just kind of let it fade away, and then people like 5 months from now be like, what happened to that Cal guy?
Oh,
wasn't he?
Because I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it.
First of all, the major change to the show is not to line up or anything specific like that. It's just some cool stuff we're going to be adding, not just here, but across the Blaze platform. Because
We just went on some money.
Because what?
We just went in on some money.
We did?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that.
We
locked in two money yesterday.
Oh, we did do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Just for the company. Got some more advertisers and whatnot. And Glenn's all hopped up with some real cool stuff that we're working on. So that's all just good content stuff is what I meant by it. Cal was scheduled to be out Friday and Monday, but he took a couple of extra days off because he has some personal things to attend to. You know, his wife's pregnant. She's due in August or whatever. So they've got some additional baby stuff they have to take care of this week that was kind of unforeseen. So it was kind of a last minute
deal. Yeah, and they're by themselves here, so they need that extra time.
Right. They have their other daughter, and they don't have a lot of
care. I think you should turn to babysit Zaina tomorrow, because I babysat her yesterday. So I think you should turn tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Did you check the calendar?
No, I did not check the calendar.
Yeah, I think it's tomorrow, and then Saturday's Kirk's turn to watch.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Was that on the door or is that on the calendar?
It was on both.
Okay, I didn't see either one. That's on me, though. That's
yeah,
on
that
me.
Is on you.
Okay, so the people that were a little upset that it was Doomsday Doc talking about Illinois. I'm sure Glenn will have more information today if you kind of like that thing. The reality is it's pretty rough right now, and we got some tough choices to make, not just with Illinois, but with also Puerto Rico and where we go in general. You people that have been promised pensions, firefighters, cops, teachers, and were promised this level of pension, the deals they made with you in many cases, not across the board because every state and local community is different, but in many cases, the deals they made were wrong. The compensation structure that they set for you was wrong. The way they made it bloated at the end, they didn't pay you what you were worth up front. In many cases, paid too much for the positions. That's not insulting anybody doing work. I think you ought to be compensated well. But the structure, because of unions and creating that union bureaucracy and that middleman, was handled wrong. However, if they promised you this compensation, if this was part of your package, you deserve to get it. You absolutely deserve to get it. And the state of Illinois absolutely ought to pay you this, be forced to pay you this. This is the other problem when we deal with these, and it was like this in Detroit and other areas that had to deal with these huge pension plans that were, you know, people retiring and saying, okay, give me the cash, where they tried to screw the people out of it. So you, the dirtbag politician, made bad deals, kicked the can down the road, made more bad deals, wouldn't stand up to the unions, in many cases still didn't pay people what they were worth, and then tried to default on something you promised them? So you made bad decision as a politician after bad decision, and then you tried to weasel out of those down the road. The way forward with this likely will include me and you, wherever you are in America, taking some medicine you don't want. It's going to be bad. It's like our national debt, now $20+ trillion and counting. We're going to have to pay for that at some point. That's going to require me and you opening up the checkbook. That's what's going to have to happen. I have refused to willingly, voluntarily pay any additional taxes, not 1 cent more than I have to. I will fight for every tax break and tax cut we can get as American citizens that you can get at the local and state level. I will fight and spew venom against anybody who wants to raise even one penny of taxes anywhere because they have not been good stewards of our money. Having said that, if I really believe for a moment that they had a plan, DC had a plan to take care of the national debt, and I believed for a moment I could trust them, which I cannot, I would be willing to incur additional taxes. I would be willing to pay more in order to, in the short term, pay down that debt and set America on the right financial path. I'm willing to do the hard work, but I will not accept even one penny more until we get things on the right track. Now, we will likely have to take care of that. And Puerto Rico's an issue as well, and we've still got other states that are struggling as well, on top of everything else. The good news is this. Because of this, because of the bad, there are going to be opportunities for some good. For example, as we mentioned, the governor has proposed term limits for lawmakers in Illinois. That's a very good thing. Absolutely. We, if we play this smart, can get some good by educating people, by talking about the problems right now while we're dealing with the fixes. We have to negotiate the good stuff into the fixes. That we cannot say, all right, we're willing to deal with this or whatever, but blah, blah, and we're going to have to, and we can't just allow the Republicans that are there to kind of put in what they, this has to be me and you. People who understand the Constitution, personal freedoms, and free markets to say how things should be. And we will go along with deals that clean up the messes. But we have some things that we demand. And we demand things like future balanced budgets, things that will tie and bind the abilities of politicians to just run up more taxes or kick the can down the road when it comes to government workers and pensions and dealing with unions. We demand things like term limits, things that put the power back in our hands, and things that set a right financial plan, which includes fiscal responsibility. Good managers and stewards of our money. We can get some of those things. It can happen. But what usually happens is you get the dirtbag Republicans selling out to a different group of masters. And that's what we're seeing right now when it comes to the health care bill. The Senate today releasing their health care bill. In it is, we don't know what's in it. We don't know what's in it because it's been done secretly. The Republican senators, many of them bitching about Obama and how he handled Obamacare and all kinds of other things about not to... Well, we need to pass it before we know what's in it. We all know that Nancy Pelosi quote. We've tweeted it. We've put it on Facebook. We've made memes of it. We've talked about it. We've played it ad nauseum. And now the Republicans are like, we got to pass it to know what's in it. The same people who told you for 8 years that what we need is a full repeal of Obamacare now are like, well, we need a kind of partial reform. Some of it works. And some of the very things they're discussing in private today in the Senate are things that they were pissed about when it came to Obamacare. Some of the very things that the House went along and passed, where sure, you could stay on your parents' health care until you're 26. Why is that the government's business to make a law? If a private insurance company wants to say you can stay on your parents' health care until you're 127, that's their decision and your decision whether or not to use them. To get your insurance through them. That's what should happen. The government should not be involved in it. Why the hell should 100 senators in Washington, D.C., 435 representatives, and a president tell you, yes, you can stay on your parents' insurance till you're 25, and you insurance company must make them. You must allow them to. We're going to make you. Why is it their business? The Republicans supposedly knew that for 8 years. Now? No. So unfortunately, this is what we get. When we have the opportunity to do right, having supported the Republicans for how long? They're selling us out. We're doing the same things over and over. The solution is accountability. When we stand up and fire those bastards, when we stand up and enforce term limits, members of Congress, when we stand up and demand a balanced budget and pass that as an amendment, when me and you, the American people, finally tie the hands, the tentacles of the Washington, D.C. monster, as they used to be with the Constitution before they bastardized it and passed all kinds of things, exempting themselves and giving themselves more power and more power to the executive branch, we will once again solve these problems. And the issues we bitch about each and every day, the frustrations we feel, the weight that we have to incur each and every day just to feed our families and to get through our days, will go away. Unfortunately, some of the people I thought that were in this with me, that marched with me as part of Tea Party groups, are now giving the Republicans a pass. The problems will be solved when those people wise up. Because I'm already there. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson will be right back on the Blaze Radio Network.
If you'd like to check out Relief Factor and try it, we've told you about it for a while now. The number is 800-500-8384 or go to relieffactor.com. It's a way you can deal with that chronic pain you've been experiencing. If you know somebody else, you got a relative, a family member, a friend that has chronic pain, just suggest it to them. Maybe even buy one of those three-week quick start packs. It's only $19.95. Because unfortunately, if you tell them about it, they're like, okay, great, whatever. But if you go, here you go, listen, I bought this. Just try this stuff. Try it for a couple of weeks and see what happens. I've done that with people in my family who would not listen to me. So finally, I'm like, here you go. Try this. Hand them the pack. And they're like, wow, hey, that stuff really worked. Yeah, now go order it yourself and give me the $20 back. I'm happy to help you out. But come on. I mean, I gave you the information. I'm doing the hard work. I got to buy it for you, too. Flip me the $20, you know, $19.95. The three-week quick start back, just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com. Unfortunately, most chronic pain is handled with some sort of mask, a pain blocker. And a lot of times those are narcotics, which have all kinds of other side effects that you don't want to have to deal with. Not to mention the fact you got to go back to the doctor, your pusher. You get the prescriptions every so often. You got to pay him at times. Just deal with the pain by dealing with the inflammation. 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384 or relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. John Ossoff failed to win the 6th Congressional District of Georgia.
Are you sure?
That's what I heard. That's okay. The scuttlebutt and the word on the street.
I don't think he thinks that.
He doesn't know that.
He came in second.
That's true. Just came in second. He was interviewed by NPR, who has also come in second. And he called for campaign finance reform.
No. No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
That's why he lost, because they didn't spend enough money.
No, there's no way he did that.
He did. He called for campaign finance. He couldn't win with, you know, a lack of money when he's going up.
$25 million, you could not land a win.
Whoopi Goldberg said, it's not that they lost, they just progressed slowly.
Right.
She actually tried to sell that one.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So, Chris, he was up against the Republican who was raising big money. He couldn't win against that.
She did not raise any big money.
No, no, I mean, John Ossoff. He raised. You mean Handel?
Handel didn't.
What are you talking about?
He completely outbid her in all the.
It was only like $19 million more that he raised than her.
Exactly.
So how is he supposed to compete with that? They need campaign finance reform, and she had big money coming in from outside the district.
Oh my God!
What? Whoa. What are you talking about?
He didn't even live in the district.
That's what I'm saying.
He said the role of money in politics is a major problem, and particularly the role of unchecked anonymous money. There have been super PACs in Washington who have been putting up tens of millions of dollars of attack ads for on air for months now. When you have that kind of environment, it's necessary to raise the resources to fight back.
You know, yesterday he sounded like Obama. Today he sounded like Hillary. You know, I lost, but it wasn't my fault.
No, not at all.
No.
He said, I'm proud of the fact that my campaign has raised the money in small dollar contributions on average of less than $50. His campaign raised $24 million, almost $25 million. 65% of the funds coming, they say, from small donations. What about the rest? What about the other 35%? Most of it came from outside the district. So his argument is, but the Republicans, it was some big checks. It wasn't a lot of little checks.
Yeah.
What the hell does that matter? It was still outside the district and state.
And money is money.
By the way, almost all of it came from outside the state of Georgia. Democrat National Committee gave him $5 million. Planned Parenthood gave him $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't count.
No.
Now, he spent that amount of money, still bitching it and win. Last November, when Tom Price was still on the ballot, right? Tom Price won soundly. But his opponent, Rodney Stooksberry, spent nothing, zero, and got 124,917 votes.
Okay.
John Ossoff, Tuesday, spent $23 million, got 124,893 votes. 24 votes less.
For the low, low price.
I don't think this is money issue. I think it's a candidate issue.
It's a message.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. But we need campaign finance reform. When do we need it?
Yeah. Now.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.